Corinthians chapter 5 is where I'd like you to turn to first this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to move all over the Bible tonight, at least the New Testament. And so, because I want you to see a few things, we've been talking about sharing the gospel with anyone, really. And we have loved ones, we have neighbors, we have co-workers, we have friends, we have children, grandchildren, so on and so forth. And as Brother Don already mentioned, you know, and again, I'm not going to belabor this too much, but if people die, when they die, if they die without Christ, they die and they go to hell. And I'm just going to be real in that. And what I want to do is, again, over the next several weeks, we're going to take this from pretty basic to a little bit more than basic as we go through this. And we're going to build on this each and every week as we go through. Tonight, we're just going to give you the basics in how to talk to someone in relationship to the scripture that you will use and can start with in this. Now, when I say we're going to start off being basic, what I mean by that is scripture is never basic, amen? It's the Word of God. And this is not, I don't ever want to come across as if this is some type of sales pitch that we can just go through 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, amen. This is very serious business when we're dealing with the salvation of souls. And I want to make that very, very clear. And so I don't want to come across like that. And so we're going to make some comments and go from there. Look at verse number 17 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because I want to start here to just kind of remind you of who we are and why we are doing this. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. We come to you and we are grateful to be in this place for this time. And God, as I pray here tonight, I would ask that you would just give me the words to say as we share through this scripture tonight. May we understand what it is to be your ambassador. May we understand the mission that we have been given. And Father, may we take the task and the orders at hand, and may we fulfill it in a way that would be honoring and pleasing to you. And we do pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Now, this, in starting off here, of course, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, a couple of key things here in this, in verse number 18 and 19, is to do with the word reconciliation or reconciling. Notice, again, he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, outside of God, okay, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is the key to salvation. Without Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins and raising again the third day, we don't have salvation in anything other than that, okay? Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin and for the sin of the entire world, okay? And that is something that we must understand. Now, in that, notice in verse 18 at the bottom there, he says, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, who is us? those back in verse 17, if any man that's in Christ, the new creature, that is the us. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Again, Jesus Christ is the key here. Jesus Christ is the main one here in this reconciliation, that he says to the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us, there's that word again, us, the word of reconciliation. This word that God is reconciling himself through Christ to us. And he has given us the word. So we're to tell it. Okay? Continue. Then he says, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So here he's kind of going through, summarizing in this, as though God did beseech you. He's saying God is calling out to you, by us and through us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's our call. That's our mission. That is our job as ambassadors, is reconciling a holy God to a lost man. And in the middle is Jesus Christ. Because again, without Jesus Christ, it's not possible for that reconciliation to be made. Now, you may have heard the term before, confrontational soul winning. How many of you have ever heard that term? Okay, a few of you. How many of you have never heard that term? Raise your hand. Confrontational soul winning. Okay. Confrontational soul winning is, again, it's just a term. It's not even really a biblical term. It's a term that we use because we are confronting a lost person with the gospel. Okay? Now, I have talked to many people about their salvation before, and I've talked to many people that didn't want anything to do with it. Therefore, that makes it confrontational. Okay? Confrontational soul winning, or giving the gospel, is not always easy to do. Okay? We're not going to talk about confrontational soul winning tonight. Okay? Again, I said we're going to start with the basics, right? Okay. So, what I'm trying to get at is here's how we're going to deal with this. When someone that is looking for or wanting to know, how can I be saved? What does the Bible say about salvation? How can I go to heaven when I die? We need to know how to talk to them about that. Now, you've heard me say this time and time again, over and over and over again. One of the questions that I will ask someone is this. If you were to die today, somebody finish that statement. Miss Peggy, nice and loud. Do you know for sure that you'll go to heaven? Now, I would say there are three primary responses to that question that I will get. Okay? The first one I will give you is a yes, I know that. Now, I follow that up with, do you mind telling me how you know that? Okay? The second response is no, I don't know. The third and most common response is, I'm not sure. Or, along the same lines, I hope so. Now, I hope so and I'm not sure mean the same thing. Okay? So here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the individual that hopes so or isn't sure whether or not they will go to heaven when they die. All right? So where do we begin? The Bible is a big book. There's 66 books in here. There's 1,189 chapters, over 300,000 verses. Where do we begin? Genesis? We start there? We could, because there are a couple of things that we have to establish in and talking with people, okay? And that is the fact, number one, that there is a God. Okay? There is a God, and he created us. So we could start in Genesis. I don't typically start there. I will typically start in 1 John. I want you to turn there. in your Bibles, 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. This is the first place that I will typically go, because when someone says, I'm not sure, or I hope so, and this is something that is very, very important, even if you're talking to someone that says, no, I don't know, but I want to know. This is helpful when dealing with a child. Maybe you have a grandchild, or your own children may come to you and say, how do I do this? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, if you are in the habit of marking in your Bibles, I would encourage you to mark this verse. Because this is, again, this is the first place that you are going to go to in talking to someone about their salvation. Now, notice this. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That ye may know. Know what? That ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Bible tells us very clearly that it is possible that we may know that we have eternal life. It's possible. You say, why is that key? Well, if someone is unsure, they need to know that they can know. Okay? That's what they need to know. That they can have eternal life, to them that call upon the name of the Son of God, or believe on the name of the Son of God. So that's the first step. Belief. Belief. That they may know. Now, we talk about believe and we talk about knowing. There's a big difference there, isn't there? There really is. So, how can we go from belief to knowing? Well, there are some things that we can have and can know in this. Now, we're going to go back to the book of Romans. Okay, you may have heard this term before, the Romans road to salvation. How many of you have never heard that phrase before, that term before? The Romans road to salvation. Okay, very good. That is fine. We're introducing this to you for the first time, maybe. And some of you may be a refresher course. Maybe it's a where do we start at? Where do we go? Now, when it comes to salvation, okay, and it comes to speaking to people about Jesus Christ and speaking to them about their salvation, we want them to know that they can know. Okay? The second thing that we must deal with in their knowing is they must know that they are a sinner. They need to know that. Okay? And the Bible tells us this. All right, that we're sinners. Now, I've talked to people before, and I've gone through this, and I've gotten to this passage here in Romans chapter 3, and the Bible says in verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one righteous. And the Bible tells us that. And I'll ask them, I'll say, so, Bryceland, you're my guinea pig tonight. Are you a sinner? Yes. Now, I know this may shock some of you, but I've had people tell me no. And I'm not talking about children, I'm talking full-blown adults. No, I'm not a sinner. As a matter of fact, we have someone running for president that says he has nothing to be forgiven of. He would probably say, if you asked him, are you a sinner? Nope. You can just find out which one it is. I'm not going to tell you. But as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So the first thing we have to get the person that we're dealing with to admit is that they are not righteous, that they are a sinner. So we start here. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Then I drop down to verse number 23, because again, very clearly states, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as we're talking about righteousness, somebody, they may not fully understand what righteousness is and what righteous is. And so we have to explain, you know, what sin is. So sin would be anything that breaks God's law and breaks God's word, that we would, you know, understand, you know, hey, we've all done this. We've all sinned. We've all come into this thing. And so if I'm trying to convince someone that they are a sinner, usually what I will do is I will go through my own sin. It's not always pleasant, but it's a good place to start to say, you know, and I don't ever try to go, you know, hey, Brother Terry, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? And usually I may say, have you ever lied? Because as soon as they say no, got them, you know, typically. But look, we're not doing this, again, to be confrontational. We're trying to show this is why we need a Savior, because we've sinned. We're all in this same place, in this same condition. Now, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I hope, again, you're marking these verses, or at least writing them down so you can go back to them and study through again and get the full context of what is taking place in this. So you see Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. This is the sin part. Everyone has sinned. Now, I want you to go over to chapter 5. Okay? Where did we get this? All right? So we see that in verse number 12, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right, so you say, do we go back to Genesis? It is possible at this point to have to go back to Genesis, because Genesis is the beginning. While it is the beginning of God creating the world, it's also the beginning of sin as it is introduced to us. And so we may have to go back and show them what God said. What did God say to Adam? Don't eat of the fruit of the tree. We can go through where the serpent came in, tempted Eve. Eve ate, took it to Adam. Adam sinned. God punished. And now, so Romans 5:12 summarizes all of that. Okay? But we might have to, in some cases, go back to Genesis and kind of recount exactly what happened there. And it's really going to depend on how much biblical knowledge the individual may or may not have. And so, but we're introduced here that through one man's sin, sin, the Bible says, entered into the world. Okay? Why are we sinners? Why do we sin? You see? And it's also, I think, in dealing with someone that may say, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, and again, we're not being confrontational here, but the Bible says that everyone is. No one is exempt from this, and this is the reason why, because it was Adam who brought this sin in. Okay? So we're dealing with the sin. Now we're going to deal with something totally different here, because now what do we do with sin? What happens? Death says in verse number 12, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? Now I want you to go over one chapter to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Okay. Verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a two-parter here. For the wages of sin is death. Now, we just learned in Romans 5, in verse 8, or verse 12, sorry, that we're all sinners. Sin has come in, and death with sin, and now the wages of sin, that payment, the payment for our sin is death. But, what a wonderful phrase here, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the place that I will typically go through and talk about how we cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn it. How many of you have ever earned a gift? You earned a gift, Brother Don? Okay, but that's not a gift, right? Once I earn it, it ceases to be a gift, right? You disagree? Okay. I can't do anything for my salvation. There's nothing that I can do to earn or pay off that penalty, okay? Nothing. I can't exchange anything. And so in a wage, in a sense, I work 5 hours, I get something for it, but yet in this, I sin, I'm getting something for it, I get death. But the gift of God, there's a gift here that's getting ready to be exchanged. And in this exchange, it is there, and all I have to do is take it, okay? Why? Because it's a gift. It's just like any other gift I've ever received. You know, I may use a birthday gift, for example. You know, how many think you're entitled to birthday gifts? Melissa's the only one. But sometimes we think that we are entitled to that. Has anybody ever had a birthday where you received nothing from anyone? Really? Good job, Shane. You are a teenager. No, that you totally missed your birthday. That doesn't count. Okay, so no happy birthday, no mention. I mean, it's just another day and totally forgotten. You receive nothing. I'm so sad for you guys. You're making me cry. A gift, if I come and I say to Bryslyn, Bryslyn, I want to give you this pen. Nice pen. It's a Toll, I think is how you say it. Writes really well. Would you like this pen? All she has to do is reach out and take it. Right? Now, the moment I say, Bryslyn, I want to give you this pen, you must give me $5. No longer a gift. Now she's purchasing it. Okay? She's purchasing it if she gives me $5. If I say, Bryslyn, I'll give you this pen, but you got to do 3 push-ups. Now you're earning it. It's no longer a gift. You see? And there's nothing that you and I can do to earn the gift that God has given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? You say nothing in life is free. That's correct. Right? Nothing in life is free. We say that all the time. And we know that. And we know that there is nothing in life that is free. Someone, somewhere down the road, paid for it, right? Now, it may be free to me, but somebody paid for it. That's where, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, comes in. Now, this is the time that we will go into and talk about what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary. I typically will leave the book of Romans and go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now this again may take a little bit more explanation in by way of explanation, just like we were in Genesis in dealing with Adam and Eve and what took place there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what I will read is the first few verses that say, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about the gospel and sharing the gospel. So what is the gospel? "The gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the twelve, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So here we have, again, the gift of God is through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin. Ah, he was crucified, he was buried, but he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's what Jesus did. And so I will take the time to go through how Jesus, we may have to start at the beginning. Remember John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same that was in the beginning, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm kind of skipping over some of those there, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in this. Okay? But Jesus then, being in the form of God, in the form of man, lived a sinless, perfect life. Okay? A sinless, perfect life, being 100% man and 100% God. Then I will go back to the book of Romans as we're talking about this. And you say, why is that significant? Jesus died. What did he die for? Romans chapter 5. Going back there. Romans chapter 5. Okay? Romans chapter 5. In verse number 8, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why was he buried and why did he raise again the third day? But God, verse number 8, commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've already covered I'm a sinner. Okay? We've already covered that. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, everybody's a sinner. No one's exempt from this. Now, God has given us a gift. That gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you and I know, and we may even quote this while we're speaking here, but Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, unto the Father, but by me." So through Jesus Christ, he died, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us all of this, okay? You can elaborate on the number of people that saw him. You can go through. Why did that happen? Because God loved you, even though you're a sinner. I think that is very, very, very important to take note of. That even though we were sinners, Christ still died for us. Because it was the only way. We can also go to John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why? God loves you. So even though I'm a sinner, Christ died for me. Now what do I do? Now what do we do with this? we can discuss now about belief. You say, is it really that simple? And some people will ask that. Is it really that simple? Yeah, it really is. It really is that simple. God loves you, and God died for you, and He wants you to have eternal life. That's His gift. That's His way of expressing His love for you. So what do we do here? Well, we then go to Romans chapter 10. What are we to do with this? In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this is the time that I would go through and I would say, okay, Bryce, we've covered a lot here. You know you're a sinner, right? And we know you're a sinner because Adam sinned. Sin entered into the world, correct? All right. Now, what do we do with that sin? Well, we die because of sin, correct? So one day you're going to die. You know this, right? Okay. What do we do? If the wages of sin is death, how do we get past that? Well, God's given us a gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we don't have to, that we can have eternal life. And He's given us this gift, and all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is call upon His name. Because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, Bryceland, what do you have to do? Accept Him. You have to believe and confess. So, with that, again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody, that's you. For as much sin as you've done in your 11 years, it's a lot, right? Not as much as your dad, but it's a lot. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is call upon Him with your mouth and believe in your heart. So, Bryceland, the first question I would ask you is, do you believe that Jesus died for you? And you believe that God raised Him from the dead? All right, now, here we are. That if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, so all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord now. So then what I would do, and this is typical, is there's no really right or wrong way to do this, and it is very important here that we understand that a prayer saves no one. Okay? Again, I want to say it this way. People in general can be manipulated. Okay? We're not manipulating people, okay? But I understand that people can be manipulated, all right? And that is not what we're doing. That's not what we're trying to do. However, there is the what we would call the leading in the prayer, or leading through the prayer. And typically what I would do in dealing with Bryceland here is I would say, Bryceland, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to pray as if it's my first time. Okay, and I want you to repeat after me. And now I've already gone through and kind of reviewed everything as far as we're sinners. Without it, you know, the wages of sin is death. And in that, the gift of God is eternal life. And I think I missed some here. We'll cover that next week and how we deal with hell, okay? Because I think that's important too. If heaven is important, the other end of it is, and we'll show you some verses on that because we're running out of time this evening. For this illustration's sake, we've covered what the alternative is to heaven, okay? And it's not an alternative; it's a reality. In that. So I would then lead her through as if it's my first time accepting Christ. She repeats after me, and I would explain to her as she does this, now look, this is not, the words will not save you. It is what you do in here, in your heart, that will save you, because that is what the Bible says. But we confess because the Bible tells us to. So it takes both of those. So in that, there are, again, these are some basic verses that it is helpful in this as you're going through this. Most of the time in dealing with this, again, we're talking about a non-confrontational experience, okay? In basically what I just did, you're probably going to be dealing with someone that has somewhat of a basic knowledge of, you know, has some biblical understanding. They've already heard of Jesus, okay? They've heard about him. They may have actually heard the gospel before, the fact that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day, and going through this basic approach. But these are the verses in where we can start. Now, there's going to be others that may be a little more difficult in going through, and we're going to talk about those in the coming weeks. And I'm going to try, I didn't really tonight, here's what I'll do tonight. In the coming weeks, what I'd like to do is leave 5 or 6 minutes at the end for questions in case someone has those. And I didn't do a good job tonight in going and giving a lot of time. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed. And I will stay up front here. If you have questions, please come and ask. I'll still be available here. So let's pray together. We'll be dismissed.